Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Welcome to it. As we study together God's Word, we want to invite you to share with your thoughts, your comments with us, looking at the study we're going through here in the Voice of Prophecy. By the way, remember that the Voice of Prophecy is a study series where you, my dear friend, can join, enroll for, and you'll be able to get a certificate once you complete the series, the course. So why don't you get in touch with us if you are looking to study God's Word with us. +27 73 470 3520. Now, in our lesson today, we are looking at understanding God's will. You see, there is a way, says the Bible in Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, because human judgment is so easily compromised by our own inclinations, we have to ask ourselves, how can we be absolutely sure we are following the divine path, and not just our flawed desires? In today's conversation, we're going to be unpacking the difference between what feels right and what is right. Because, yeah, there is a difference between the two. So join us as we will be looking at the study together. Leading us through is our elder, Elder Dumisani Moyo, who joins us now on the line. Dala, good morning to you. Elder Moyo, good morning. Okay, we've connected to the elder, but it looks like he is not ready for us. Let's see if we can try that line again so that we can have a better conversation, how to understand God's will for yours, for my life, and how to differentiate it from our own desires and what we are hoping secretly that God would do for us. Come through as we will be having this discussion here. You can share your thoughts, your comments, ask your questions on +27 73 470 3520 as we try to connect with our elder, Elder Moyo, who is helping us study this particular lesson right here. So, the lesson is part of a series called The Voice of Prophecy. It's a series with 26 lessons. Discover Study Guide is the one we are going through. And we are currently in lesson number 4, God's plan for your life, right? God's plan for your life. And part of it is to really understand that He has a desire for you, for me, to understand His will, right? To understand His will. You see, When you look at media, for example, the call is to follow our hearts, to say whatever you are feeling, a bit of a corner, like you're stuck in a rut, or you may be in a tight space and you don't know which way to go, follow your heart. That's an encouragement that comes through. But here we heard from Proverbs that the heart, sometimes what it wants to do is the way of death. In fact, Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then he says, hey, be careful, who can know this thing? And the call is for you and for me to be careful about it. So there is a deathly error in that approach to just say, let's follow what the heart wants, because that's not what we ought to be doing. That's not what we ought to be doing as we go into life. Let's rather follow God's counsel. Proverbs chapter 3 would remind us that we need to trust in the Lord, right? Lean not on our own understanding, but lean on Him and what He says in His word. And in His word, His will is always better for us. So that's the conclusion we get from Scripture. And even when you look at sometimes it's almost like His path sometimes leads us in those treacherous areas. Where we're finding ourselves, Psalm 23, sometimes going through the valley of the shadow of death. But the beauty is God still is with us in those areas. We sometimes find ourselves being slain of God in the way He leads us, right? Job chapter 13, if I'm not mistaken, right? Slain of Him. But in verse 15, it reminds that, but that's the best you can find yourself in terms of situations where God is the one doing the slaying. I think it's in the book of Chronicles, if I'm not mistaken, where David says, it's better to fall into the hands of Jehovah than into the hands of human beings. Because if I fall into the hand of a human being, hey, a human being, my friend, is merciless. But with Jehovah, there is plenteous grace. There is mercy with him. So even if he's upset when he rebukes and he chastises, yeah, at least there is some mercy with him. There is some grace with him. There is some long suffering and some forgiveness. And so there is that beauty that as we go through that area there, we can understand. So go with God is the counsel we're just trying to say to you this morning. Don't go on your own understanding. And this idea of following the heart, it will end in tears. is what we are having you know even this morning. It will end in tears. So there might be situations you might even think that God can allow us to compromise his instructions, right? If he's put clear word and then sometimes you face a challenge, surely you are exempted from obedience. That's what we think, right? Or that's what we would want to think. I'm thinking of, it looks like we've got the elder on the line. Let's see if we can bring him in and maybe he can then help us address this one of those moments where we have challenges of understanding and where we face issues where we feel like, no, but truly God will understand if I break his commandments, reject his instruction on this particular point right here. Elder Moyo, good morning to you, sir, and welcome to our study this morning.
Good morning, Derek. I hope you are doing well.
By God's grace, we are doing quite well, trusting that we are finding you well.
Yes, yes, quite well. Just a few challenges here and there, but that is what life is, I suppose.
No, true, true. It's the ups and downs that make life life.
Yeah. The good with the bad, and we're okay.
Yes, yes, indeed. We are grateful for that. We're grateful for that. But then, as you came in, we were about to just converse with a listener here regarding some of those moments. I mean, we're talking about understanding God's will, all right, and how his desire is for us to do that. And we're saying when we have heard maybe from his word what his will is, surely there must be situations where compromise is permissible, where compromise is acceptable, where compromise is almost expected. I'm thinking, yeah, maybe let me give some examples for clarity. Surely,
okay,
will God expect a man to love a unsubmissive wife, for example, right? Unlovable neighbor. Surely there are exemptions, right? Does he expect us to maybe not try spiritualism, for example, when things like prayer are not working out and giving us the results we're waiting for? There's no breakthrough. Surely we must be able to try alternatives so that we get the results. If the first option doesn't work, surely he understands if we try something alternative, doesn't he?
No, I love the way that question is, because I think that's very practical. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, right, we find ourselves in situations where we say, okay, it seems like the way that has been given, maybe that works for everyone else. And I believe it works for everyone else. But maybe God is just not answering me in specific. So maybe if I find my own way, and remember, God gave us a brain. And so we start saying, no. If maybe the reason why God gave me this brain is so that I should think, and I should think for myself, and I should come to my own reasoning. Now, there's something interesting in the question that you asked, in that you said, when the problems we seem to be facing, and then we don't seem to be getting a solution to it.
Yeah.
The question would be, are we seeking God or are we seeking our answers? Now, I know that may sound a little bit as if I'm being, I don't know, too fundamental.
Okay.
But the idea is this first. What are we seeking? Are we seeking God first? Are we seeking the answer? So the reason why I ask this question is, let's say, and I've certainly been in situations like that before where I'm trying to find a solution to something, and then someone comes to me and says, no, you've been trying for a long time. Let's just go to the witch doctor.
I mean,
we'll just go to the witch doctor. You know that you don't believe in those things, you know, we don't. But let's go to the witch doctor. Let's find a way. And I remember going through my mind going like, okay, I know that I would probably, it's not that these things will actually fail. You might actually find your solution over there, would you find your solution at what cost? At the cost of losing God. Now, I want to bring to the attention, for example, what King Saul did. He couldn't find an answer to his problem, so what did he do? He went to the witch of Endor.
Yeah.
Now remember God's instruction. He said, if there be found a witch among you, they must be killed, they must be stoned. Mm. Why would you seek out the dead, or why would you seek out to the voice of someone else rather than to your God? Your God is who makes you special. Your God is the one who has made you different from the rest of the nations. He has put you up. He has exalted you. Why would we seek someone else for our answers? Maybe the question would come in to say, okay, what is more important to us? The answer to our prayers or to the one who to whom we pray?
Yeah.
And so I know this sounds very as if I'm not considering the situation that our brother or our sister is in. I'm not saying that the situation is not real. The reason why I said that I have been through such situations is because I know how real this gets. And I understand that sometimes we really need a solution. It could be for our families. It could be for our friends. It could even be saying that, no, if I do not do this, I will lose everything. And I'm talking about everything, job, family. But here's the thing. What is it that the Word of God tells us when it says, he who gains his life, I mean, he who tries to keep his life will actually lose it.
Yeah.
And he who loses for his life for my sake actually gains it. Now, do we believe what God says? Or do we say that maybe God's maybe are there nuances? I know there was someone who you know, there's some nuances to situations. And granted, we are all individuals, but remember that principles apply across the board.
Yeah.
How God will work, let us not limit him, but let us not go into the devil's camp saying that this is the way of God. That is something that we cannot endorse. We can definitely say God will work in some other way, maybe even unorthodox way, but let it be God who works that way, not us going onto Satan's ground saying that it is God's way.
Yeah. The end definitely does not justify the means, right?
I wish you could say that it does, but to be honest, not how things go.
Yeah. It's not just the result. And I love how you put it across earlier on to say, you know what? It's not just about the gift that you're looking for. It's really supposed to be a pursuit for the giver. When you have him, you have everything. Because if we are into the habit of looking for things, then we will lose sight of the relationship of who God is to us and for us, and just look for the things that will benefit us, even at the expense of losing that which is important. I think that is really, really profound, a great principle there. Thank you so much for that, Mdala.
Yeah.
Maybe as we draw to the close, Elder, earlier on we were touching on the importance of understanding that our hearts cannot be the thing that goes in front in helping us make decisions, right? And our inclinations, our guts and so forth. Then what is the most important test for determining a right course of action when we're faced with a dilemma? How do we then know what to do? What is it that we must apply in terms of a test?
Okay, so one of the things that I have found to be true, and especially when we look to the Word of God, when it talks about don't follow your heart, or what it says basically is, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I know that most of us stop there. The rest of that verse actually says, who knows the heart?
Mm-hmm.
And that is God himself.
Yeah.
He tries the reins and he knows our hearts. We are told that we shouldn't lean on our own understanding, but rather we should lean on the understanding that God would give us. Now, here's the thing. Let us make sure that we, when it comes to coming out with a solution to our problem or whatever it may be, remember that God does give away, and he does say that, I'd like to quote 1 Corinthians, I think it's 10 verse 13.
Okay.
The one that talks about God, when he gives a, when there are temptations and all, Mm-hmm. Those temptations do come. Mm-hmm. It's not like temptations will not come. And of course, we are not given more than we can bear. But it then comes to say that along with the temptation, God is faithful in also offer the way out. So there is a way out. That's the first thing I want to assure our dear friend and our dear listener, that there is a way out, but we need to be holding on to the hand of the one who has that way out. We need to hold on to him first. And I'll go back to a specific principle that has been tested and always works, is this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33.
Okay.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you.
Yes.
So this is what I would say. First and foremost, seek God. I know that we would want to say, no, I need to seek my answer first. No. First of all, seek God. Now, what does that mean? Surrender. It means being able to say, Lord, there's many prayers that maybe I would say, you know, we may not get the right prayers, but there's two prayers that I know always work. Is one, Lord, help my unbelief. That the prayer that is always answered. Lord, help my, I do believe, and maybe I have that, you know, there's a certain amount of faith that I have. I know that it's there, but there's parts of me that maybe have seen things and have been hurt. Please help my unbelief. The other one that I would say definitely does work is to be able to say, Lord, help me to be made willing. I mean, help me to be willing to be made willing, because there's sometimes you just don't want to go down the path. That God is too strong. Because we say that, you know, not my will, but yours be done. I know we say that, but to be very honest, sometimes we're holding on to our will. And so I'm not willing to, but be honest about not being willing to, and ask him, Lord, help me to be willing.
To be willing.
To be willing.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say as principles. Now, it may not be an answer directly to the specific solution that you're facing. I do not know your specific circumstance, but these are principles that we know. Our Lord and our God is not looking to destroy us. He's looking for our best. So trust him. It's not going to be easy to explain it to everyone, but trust him fully, and he will be the one to supply all your needs in Christ.
Amen. I love it. If you trust him, he will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much, Mudala. We truly want to appreciate you. May God bless you until we chat again tomorrow.
All right, we'll talk again tomorrow. Thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's a beautiful lesson on how we concluded for this morning. Elder Dumisani Moyo joining us there in study as we are looking at understanding the will of God. The lesson is lesson number 4 in our Discover Study Guide. God's plan for your life, and his plan is that you understand his will and that you apply it in your life. And so go out there and do exactly that, is our encouragement even this morning.
Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.